today and enter the world of Hilt Radio.
Oh, holy crow. We are finally back. We actually had to go on and check when the last time we did an episode was, and it was like November of 2022. So I don't think this is our longest stretch of no episode, but I am glad for all of those listening that you have returned just as we have. And I, your host, Liam, and is joined by the effervescent, the absolutely astounding, the gorgeous, the incomparable Brittany DeCosimo. How are you, babe?
I'm good. Nice. Hi, everybody. I missed you guys.
All 17 of you that are listening. Hey, whatever. I'll still count it for a win. I don't care.
Yeah, it counts. You know, if we have one listener, you're my best friend. Hi, reach out to me. Let's be friends.
Yeah, whether you want it to be or not, it's all part and parcel, right? The whole genie gig.
You're part of the family. Thanks for sticking around.
Phenomenal cosmic powers. Actually, in our case, it'd be phenomenal podcast powers.
You know, everybody has a podcast now. So if one person is still here for our podcast almost a year later, I mean, not quite a year, but November of 2022, you said?
Yeah, that's
a long time.
You know how you'll know when you've made it is like when there's podcasts talking about your podcast, like when their episodes are devoted to like breaking down your episodes. That's what it is now. Because think about it. We saw that rise in YouTube of like reaction videos.
Oh.
So it's all like not people creating content. Like
you're creating content around other people's content.
Yes.
That is what we're in. That's what TikTok is. That's what all social media is now. Let me review what other people are doing.
Right, right.
Let me give you my opinion. That's what podcasts have always been. That's what radio shows have always been.
Yeah, reactions. Yeah. Reactions to song, reaction to politics, reaction to...
Yes.
The state of the world. So, I mean, and I think that's never going to go away.
No.
But it is.
There's always a new medium of yes. How you can, I guess, put your opinion out there.
And I suppose that's the benchmark of like how popular are you based on how many people are reacting to the content you create.
Right.
Because you're either a creator or you're an imitator, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
And speaking of creators, I wanted to kind of start off this podcast first off by saying we've got a lot of updates from the last time we did an episode, one of which is that I work from home now. Yes, I no longer work my office job, which involved a lot of traveling. I mean, luckily the traveling was only within like an hour to 2 hours from home. So I wasn't like gone overnights or anything like that. At least not typically. If I was, it was for like a training in like SoCal, or I think actually when I went to Sacramento, you guys came with me.
We did.
Yeah, you and Remy.
We made a little event out of it. We even went with you to SoCal a few times because Disney. Come on now.
That's right.
An hour from Disney, we're going.
You guys went with me to Irvine.
We did.
And I dropped you off at Disney, and then I was late to the training session I was supposed to go
because
do.
Because we don't understand LA traffic. I mean, we do now, but at the time we didn't.
No, not at all. And then you guys also went to Lancaster with me.
Yeah.
Which it was funny because I actually think we got to Disney faster from Lancaster than
and
I did.
And it's further.
Yeah, than I did from getting from Irvine back up, or from Disney down to Irvine.
Yep.
Sacramento, you guys went with me. That was forklift training. For that one, and you and Remy went to the zoo, to the Sacramento Zoo.
We did. That's the first time I ever had been to that zoo. And I think we've gone a couple times since then.
Yeah, I think we did.
Mm-hmm. With family, when your family visited.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, when we were
2019.
Because it was before Winnie was born.
Yes, I was pregnant. So early 2019.
Yeah. So it's interesting because like with that job, I got to go a lot of places and I got to see a lot of California. Which was cool, and I enjoyed it because it allowed us to buy the house that we currently live in and kind of, you know, get ourselves to the point that we are now. But I now narrate full time. So I am a full time audiobook narrator, and that is my full time job. So
yes, he goes into a little box and he just talks to himself in a room for hours out of the day. It's really funny.
But what's really cool about it too is that even before I started doing audiobooks, you were doing proofreading for Tim Page, you know, our best
friend. Everybody knows Tim Page if you listen to this podcast.
Yeah. If not, hopefully you're listening to The Love Gods, which is Tim and my sex advice podcast. So hopefully you guys are tuning into that one as well. But yeah, we do. But with Tim, he'd been in audiobooks before I had, and you were proofreading his books.
I was.
And then you got into.
Or I am.
And then you got into editing as well.
Yeah.
So it's what's really cool is now we both work from home. We both run our own business, which is really cool, where we get to do production work where it's proofreading and editing and mixing and mastering. I've done mixing and mastering on the side for music as well, which was not something I ever thought that I would do. But we actually had a family friend who was applying to different universities here in California, but he had to put together a demo. And I helped him like write and record his stuff. And he got accepted to the college, to both colleges that he applied to. Ended up deciding he'd rather stay local, which totally good decision, to be honest. If your heart's not like fully set, don't spend the money going to a college you're not like 100% certain that's where you want to
be. I'm sure his parents appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, they definitely did because that bottle of, bottle of whiskey definitely says that they do. But it was that was really cool. Like us being able to do these things, you know, we moved into this new house in 2021, which I'll be honest, like the narration helped us be able to do that because we had that additional income while I was working the full-time job. And it kind of got to that point where it was like, poop or get off the pod, you know? And in March of this year of 2023, I resigned my position from that company and I went full time. And I mean, we're in August now.
Yeah. It's working out so far.
Yeah, knock on wood. Hopefully you guys can hear that.
Hopefully in a year from March, we'll say we are still doing this and that it is still working out because it's nice to have you home.
Oh, I love being home.
I stress a lot. I have a lot of anxiety. Since you have been home, I stress less and I have less anxiety. So it has helped you not traveling as much because you don't realize little things like that, that I guess weigh on you every single day.
Right.
And that is kind of a lot of where from my, a lot of my anxiety comes from things about like, losing family members, things like that. Just, you know, every day, like you love the people in your life so much that any little thing can happen any day and anything can still happen. But it's just one less stressor with you not traveling 45 minutes away on the crazy highways every day. So,
yeah,
little things. It's helpful.
And honestly, it's been better for me as well because I'm not stuck in a car all day every day, which was doing a number on my back.
Right.
You know, just
you were stressed. You were very stressed with that job. And I'm sure most people can relate to that, where when you have a 9-to-5 job, which for you, it was more than 9-to-5. You were never off. You had to be on the clock all the time. I mean, you're a salary, so I get that, but it's not fair. You need time to, you know, step away from your job, and that business didn't allow it. Even though they claimed that they did.
Yeah.
They did not. There was always repercussions if you did step away. You're like, I'm finally going to take a break. I'm going to take a vacation. I'm going to turn my phone off. I'm not going to answer a phone call. The next day there was an issue.
Yeah.
So that's stressful. You were never not stressed.
Oh yeah. No, absolutely. And I could feel it affecting, you know, not just physically, but like my mental health.
Yes.
Like I was more apt to get angry and blow up about stupid things just because, you know, my patience was worn thin from dealing with people at that job and not really feeling appreciated for the work that I did there, because there were a lot of things that I did that stepped out of what my job duties were. Mm-hmm. And it was either because of the, either the necessity for it or a lack of contribution from other salaried managers at the company. So, and I'm sure I've talked about who I worked for in the past. I don't want to badmouth the company now because it's not my business.
No.
So however they run it now is what they do. Long listeners of the podcast will remember who it was that I worked for. Anybody that's more recent, they're not going to know. And don't worry about it. It's a big name company and you would hope that they would take better care of their employees, but like we're seeing with these streaming giants now in the way that they're treating the Writers Guild of America, as well as SAG-AFTRA, which I'm a member of, we can see that they're really only worried about the bottom line. They're not worried about their employees. They're not worrying about people's well-being, their mental health, their ability to live comfortably without having to live paycheck to paycheck. And I think for me, I'm fortunate in that what I do with the audiobook narration is unaffected by the SAG-AFTRA strike, because the strike is only against television and cinema entities right now. And even at that point, it's only against the studios that haven't met the demands of SAG-AFTRA. So like A24, who is typically known for their horror movies, they met those demands. SAG-AFTRA came out with the demands and A24 said, yeah, we got you.
Awesome.
And they immediately started doing that. So like there is some work that is happening. There are some independent studios that are finding a way to work, but it is the giants, the ones like your Warner Brothers, your Disney's that are not compliant. And I think the thing that was really heartbreaking for me, and I think for you as well, like because we are such big Disney fans and this podcast originated as really just being a Disney-centric podcast that probably within the last 2 years we decided to branch out and kind of
talk about what we like. Talk about everything.
Yeah, because ultimately the concept of Here You Leave Today is just escapism in general. And I don't think that's limited to Disney. That can be anything that you do that is out that allows you to step out of your daily grind and be maybe a more true version of a more authentic version of yourself. Because you're not trying to meet deadlines. You're not trying to be a certain way because that's what's expected of you. And it was heartbreaking to have like Bob Iger come out and say, you know, the expectations of SAG-AFTRA and the Writers Guild are unrealistic.
Yeah.
The dude makes $78,000 a day.
Ugh.
Like if we make that in a year, we're happy.
We're happy,
that
right?
That dude makes that a day. And I get it. Like being a CEO of a company comes with more responsibility, but you cannot tell me that the stress and responsibility that comes with that position is 300 times what your lowest paid employee makes.
Like, no, it's not. I mean, I don't like anybody making that kind of money in any field that they do.
No.
You think about, you know, celebrities, you think about athletes, all of these people that are making these crazy amounts of money, but they're still people on the streets. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, we've seen, there's been multiple videos that have come out that have broken down like how insignificant of an impact it would make on these millionaires and billionaires to allow some of that income to trickle down to the people that absolutely need it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about like full blown, everybody, even playing field has the same amount of money. Like we are talking about just percentages that come down from the tops, from the shareholders, the CEOs that maybe they don't make as much money.
Right.
So like this constant, oh, well, maybe if these millennials didn't buy a latte every week, they could afford their rent. Well, guess what? Maybe if billionaires didn't have a private jet and a yacht and multiple homes in different places, if they maybe had one less thing, thousands of people could have a living wage. Yeah.
Just like, a meal.
Yeah. Well, no, like survive comfortably.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be.
Why is that so rough?
And I think that's the thing, is everybody that is against the strike, that is not within the you know, Hollywood elite, the people keep looking at it as like, oh, well, it's Tom Cruise and Matt Damon and these guys are already millionaires and they have all this money. Yeah, but they need to be the face for the faceless, because people are not looking at me being like, oh yeah, Liam is a member of SAG-AFTRA. They're not thinking about that.
No.
You know what I mean? You see the big name celebrities, but if they don't hold the line for the people that are not the big name individuals, nobody would listen.
Right.
Like you have to have, you know, the cast of the Haunted Mansion not go to red carpet premieres.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way to send a message to the studio that like, we are going to operate in solidarity and you need to take these requests seriously. This is not a polite suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
This is a demand for proper compensation, especially in the improvements, if you will. I don't even want to call it artificial intelligence because it's not.
Yeah.
It's basically plagiarism.
Yeah.
Because all these models that are based on, because if you look at any of the news articles that have come out, they learn from things that were already written, things that were already said. Even Zoom had recently come out with a new addendum to their user clause that said that they could use any bit of your recording of your interaction to help train AI. Luckily, they pulled it because there was such a huge backlash. Like literally today, Tim sent me a message saying, hey, Zoom pulled that from their user agreement.
But we need everybody to be on the same like plane field. Because we need to all get on board. AI isn't good for anybody.
Anything. No. And it's, you know, people are like, oh, chat GPT or whatever. And, you know, that is like the most dumbed down version of AI. Mm-hmm. There are other models that are so much more advanced, but every single model is a learned model. Yeah. Because the AI it's not true AI like we see in like Terminator. You know what I mean? This isn't like a living, breathing mind. This is still code. And the way that it learns is by stealing information.
Yes.
We run into that horribly in the audiobook profession, in voice acting profession, because you do have automated audio. For people that use TikTok, you can set that where there's the male voice, the old male voice, the female voice. And I hate when people do that because you are utilizing AI. I hate it just as much as when people use the AI artwork, because that AI artwork learned
from an actual artist.
Yeah,
many artists that have no idea 100%. And they're not getting any money for it.
And like early days of this podcast, we would have artists on. That's how we met Jared Mariano.
Yeah.
Was having him on multiple times on this show.
And Gavin
Odison, like, Chris Ramo. Like there were so many artists that we had on this show that we did it to help highlight and support their art.
Yeah.
So utilize, and if you guys enjoyed this show, enjoyed having those artists on, like for them to still live and do their work, you can't support AI. You have to support the artist. And that's how it is for me and my profession, is that luckily a lot of the work I do is in the romance category, which that doesn't get quite as much of an influx of artificial voice simulation, but it does happen. And to be able to still do what I do and still lead the life that we're able to lead, the support for the artist and not for the artificial intelligence, it's profound. Like we need that support to be able to continue to create.
And think about like background actors where they're starting in the background. Like this is where they're going to start. And AI wants to go completely take out background actors.
Yeah.
Let me pay you for a couple hours for one day, and then we don't need you for the rest of shooting because we already got your face, your body, and we're just going to use a computer and put you anywhere we want. Change your clothes, change your hair, do whatever we want to you. But you got paid for a few hours when you could have got paid the whole time of shooting.
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, where do they go? Nobody would ever get anywhere because you start in the background.
Right, exactly.
I don't get how we would ever move up.
But I think that's the other big argument, is that as long as they can continue to scan faces and artificially duplicate voices, hell, we saw it in that ice cream commercial years ago when it was Audrey Hepburn.
Oh,
where they had re-scanned Audrey Hepburn's face and used it in a commercial.
Right.
Yeah, you still had an actress that was there that then they put the face over it.
Right.
But you can hire anybody to do that at that point. I mean, we saw it even utilized with Carrie Fisher, right?
Everybody does it these days.
Yeah, ending in Rogue
One. When
you're
de-aging all of these older celebrities.
Whereas back in the day, you would have had, if you couldn't do it with practical effects like makeup, you were hiring another actor to play the younger version of that actor.
I mean, but somebody is probably getting paid, like they are using their body, their likeness.
But not the way you're paying a new actor to play that role. Because think about it, Ewan McGregor getting paid to play Obi-Wan in the prequels.
Yeah.
Would have been a vastly different paycheck had it been just random so-and-so with a de-aged face of Alec Guinness on his face. That's where that issue is always going to be, is that one, you are taking jobs from potential actors that could get their moment on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, yes, it works. Sometimes it doesn't, right? We saw it with, I can't think of the actor's name, but he was young Han Solo, right?
Oh, Ansel? No.
I know. I haven't thought.
Algort something?
Yeah.
No, I might be thinking of two people and putting them together.
I think we're conflating two people. But you think about, like, he, yeah, it wasn't like the best received Star Wars film, but he still got that opportunity instead of so-and-so background actor that was going to get a de-aged Harrison Ford, that they were just going to pull his likeness from Indiana Jones and the original
Alden.
Trilogy.
Ehrenreich.
There you go. Sorry, Alden. I do apologize. I cannot name the last time I watched Solo. I was thinking of the guy
from Baby Driver.
Yeah, the one that was in West Side Story.
Yeah. Yep, that's what I was thinking of.
But I think that to me is where it becomes an issue, right? Because we even had found out in the audiobook world that there was one of the hosting services for audiobooks that had a clause that they were taking voices that were loaded on there. So you may have recorded an audiobook for an author, and if it was put on this specific platform, you had no control over the fact that they were now going to steal your voice and use it to train AI. Yeah, that's terrible. Like, it's an incredibly terrifying thing.
Like, with your consent?
No, as long as the audio was uploaded, that was consent. So they weren't going to go to me and ask for my consent. Because when I create the audiobook, now all I'm doing is uploading it to that server because it's the author's book.
So they can do whatever they want with
it. So yeah, so essentially they're going, now that that book's on our server, it's ours. Everything that with the text in the copy, in the print copy, now that's ours to use for AI integration. Same thing for the audiobook for the user's voice.
That is so scary.
100%. And think about it. There are some people that do this without the permission. Like we talked about with the artists. There's nothing to say that there aren't people that would take my music and use that to train an AI algorithm to spit out a pop punk song. I need a pop rock song a la The Vain Honor Bright. Boom, now it's there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's scary as an artist, as somebody that has made my living, majority of my life as an artist, whether it was a musician, whether it's been a voice actor.
Right.
That has been a large portion of the 40 years now that I've been on this earth.
Yeah.
So it is a little terrifying to think that these things can be taken away and that that you have studios that are fighting for it.
Yeah.
You know, like they are literally,
because they see the break for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They see that it's a lot cheaper for them to just have some computer, you know, technology. Yeah. Do it for them rather than pay all of these extra people. And that's so scary. Yeah. We see so many movies, iRobot, Terminator, things like this, where we're like, oh, the robots are going to take over. And we think like, oh, it's a physical robot that's going to come take over.
Not always.
Guys, the robots are taking over right now.
Well, hell, when we were in Vegas, or not Vegas, Hollywood, and we saw that little robot on wheels rolling by to deliver food.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I've seen other videos of people like robbing the food right out of there and like kicking it over.
And you think about it and you're like, oh, that's awful. They're stealing. But then you really think about it. That little robot stole a job from somebody.
Yeah, 100%.
And you care about it though. Like you see the videos of people kicking them over and like, being like graffitiing them, being angry at them. It's like, and you feel bad. Why are we having emotions for these things?
Yeah.
That is creepy.
Yeah. Well, it's, you're like assigning it a personality like we do with WALL-E, like we did, you know, like we do with R2-D2. Like there are certain,
but it's taking our jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Like all of those X-Wings don't have a physical co-pilot because a droid took its job.
That. Do you see where we get Star Wars is?
Yeah. Bib Fortuna was going to lose his job to C-3PO. Like when you think about it, like, new translator. Here's my new translator droid. So I with those jokes, I'm trying to make light of it, but the very real.
It's scary. It's happening. McDonald's that had absolutely no one in it.
Yeah.
I'm like, who's making the food? I'm like, well, somebody's in the kitchen, right? At least. Probably not.
Yeah.
I didn't really look far into that.
No, I think there's only kitchen employees.
Kitchen employees.
And then there's one front of house
just
employee.
Just in case.
To direct you to like the touch screens and all that other stuff. Like it's
Can
it's
we talk
automated.
About how, I mean, this might just be a me thing. I hate like the idea of, what is it? The cashiers with the self-checkout.
Self-checkout
is
the worst.
That is so frustrating to me. Do I utilize it? Sometimes, yes. But the only time I utilize it is when the cashiers are clearly slammed because they only have like two cashiers in Target at the busiest time everybody wants to be in there. So then I go and utilize a self-checkout. But if there is a cashier that is ready for me, I'm going to go to the cashier always.
Yeah.
Oh, before the self-checkout. every time you go to a self-checkout, probably at least 8 times out of 10, there's a mistake. Yeah. Something happens where you have to call somebody over anyway. Let's just let that person be a cashier.
Yeah.
Give them their regular job that they probably applied for to begin with. It's so frustrating. There's always an issue. Something is wrong. We don't know how to do it because guess what? We weren't trained to do it in that job.
Exactly. It's one thing to be like, oh, well, it's a job that's taken away from somebody else. But it's not, because now that job is forced on us, the consumer. Yes. And I'm not getting a bigger discount.
We don't get any discount. If anything, today we're paying more.
Yeah, exactly. And when you think about it too, you look at places like Walmart where you're going to do self-checkout and they want to check your receipt before you leave.
You're funny.
And I'm like, dude, I just did your job for you. Instead of checking my receipt, why don't you be the one to check me out
and
to
so
make
you
sure
know
that everything, yeah,
that everything yeah. is...
That to me is ridiculous.
Copacetic.
Like places like Costco, I get it because, you know, majority of it is cashiers, like actual cashiers. It's not
they
the self-checkout. You know what I mean?
There's so much stuff going through place.
But like
you need it.
And double checking, like, hey, you're not walking out with big ticket items. Like certain places, like I can understand that. But like Target doesn't make you do it. They're not checking your receipt when you walk out. Like it's funny to me that you have these companies that want to do that. And they're literally just creating more work on the consumer, but not passing along the discounts that they're getting by not having to pay somebody to do that job. So at the end of the day, it spins all the way back to what we were talking about. You know, I think I see the tweets and people are like, oh, thanks for nothing, Biden. You know, like they want to blame the government for it. And I'm like, do you guys understand? Like, it's not the government that's setting this. These are the companies. This is capitalism. Like this is your Walmart. This is your Disney. This is your Warner Brothers. Like these are companies that are sitting there trying to find a way to save as much money, not so they can pass the savings on to you, the consumer, not to make it more affordable for you to live, but so that they can add more money to their bottom line. Mm-hmm. And let's think about it. Like it's not the innovation that's coming out, because we can see where the innovation money is going. It's going to artificial intelligence to eliminate more jobs so then that they can amass more wealth.
More money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, like we are just warm bodies to them. Like they don't understand, you know, what it's like to have a mortgage. They don't understand what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. They don't understand what it's like to choose between things like toilet paper or ramen. You know what I mean? Like you're like, well, do I have enough money to wipe my ass or do I have enough money to eat?
Yeah.
And like that's the issue that we see. And so for those that live in like the major cities where you see SAG-AFTRA or WGA
strikes,
support them in any way possible, like whether it's bringing them water bottles or marching with them, like whatever support that you can give, even if it's simple things like retweeting the message on social media, tagging the decision makers for these companies and letting them know that like we're unhappy with the way that they're doing things. Because if you think it's going to stop with movies, it's not.
They're not taking the money from the Tom Cruises and all those big ones up there. Yeah. They're fine. They'll be okay.
Yeah.
But it is the little people that you're not thinking about. It is those background actors. It is, you know, all of the writers that were on strike before SAG got involved. It's people who are still living when you think they're not paycheck to paycheck. They are. Yeah. It is hard. They can't afford healthcare.
So for SAG-AFTRA healthcare, you have to make about $26,000 a year.
Yeah, and we learned that.
And we learned that. And that was one of the determining factors for me leaving the company I was working for to be able to do narration full time, was we needed medical benefits. Like we were not going to be able to pay out of pocket for medical benefits.
No.
And unfortunately the company I worked for, they had bought out the company. So it was still the same main company, but it was like a new local ownership. The medical benefits we had were worse than what they were before the buyout. The medical benefits I have now through SAG-AFTRA are way better.
Yes.
But to only make $26,000 a year, like you can't live off of that.
You can't.
And it's not $26,000 a year in like total income. It is SAG-AFTRA approved reported income. So this is stuff that has to be paid through like a union job, essentially.
Right.
So like when you're doing acting,
not every job is a union job.
Yeah. So there's going to be certain things where, you know, you're an extra in WandaVision, right? You're a background actor in WandaVision, and that would be a paid SAG-AFTRA approved income. Then you go after that and teach a yoga class. You're still making money in the yoga class, but it's not SAG-AFTRA approved income because that's not a union job. That's not a SAG-AFTRA job. So for me, like as an audiobook narrator, the work that I do is SAG-AFTRA work. So I'm paying into my pension and health and part of my, and my union dues to make sure that I'm able to still qualify for medical benefits. So when you have actors that they only get so many parts a year, or writers that they only are able to write so many scripts a year, or they're only being paid for so many scripts a year, if they don't meet those minimums, they don't qualify for medical benefits. 87% of SAG-AFTRA members do not qualify for the minimum $26,000 medical benefit threshold.
Yeah.
That's nuts. It's nuts to me to not make at least $26,000 a year doing the job that you want to do.
Right.
Like that's crazy. And it really does come down to paying people what they're worth, making sure that people can qualify for something as a basic human right as healthcare.
Yep.
Like having access to
doctors,
like doctors and dentists and mental health professionals. Like this, it sounds ludicrous to not be able to have access to that stuff. But like, that's the reality that we're in. So I know I didn't want this to be like a huge long TED talk, but I feel like that was something that was very relevant to what's going on right now.
Yeah.
And I think for people that maybe they don't fully understand what's going on when it comes to SAG-AFTRA.
And who's really involved.
Yeah,
and who's involved. Who does it affect?
Who does it affect? Who benefits from this? So with that being said, I'm not telling you to boycott Disney. I'm not telling you to cancel your Disney Plus service. Like you can still have these things, but like I said before, if you can support in any way, shape, or form, the support is always going to be appreciated. The more that you can speak up, the more likely it is that these companies are going to listen. Because right now, they're not even interested in going back to the table with SAG-AFTRA, because Bob Iger himself said, we will starve them out. Once they start losing their apartments and they can't afford meals, they're going to go back to work.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. And the fact that it's Bob Iger that said that, it's pretty freaking upsetting.
I didn't know it was Bob Iger. I thought it was somebody else. So I'll have to look into that.
Well, Bob was definitely the one that said it was unrealistic.
I know that. I heard him say that one. I don't know about the other one. I thought it was a different higher up. So
I think I originally
but either way,
it was Warner Brothers.
Doesn't matter. But like if he's still on board with not paying the little people, it's a problem.
Yeah.
There's an issue there, dude. Come on. He was so on board with everything else, I felt like.
Yeah.
I feel like he was very, I guess, progressive. I don't know, you know what you want to call him, but he was there for human rights. All across
always,
the board.
Yeah.
And to hear this part when it might potentially affect his paycheck, now he has something to say, that's disgusting.
It is. And you know, it's tough because I guess like Disney Plus isn't making as much money as it was. We've seen attendance has dropped in the parks, apparently not as much in California because we've been to Disney a couple times already.
Yeah, I haven't noticed it.
Yeah, it's still super, super busy. But it does, for the reports that we've seen that down in Walt Disney World, not that it's a ghost town, but it is drastically less than what they've seen in years past. And we've seen the, hey, come stay in a hotel with a 25% off discount between this date and this date. We've seen that come back. Whereas like right out of, coming out of COVID and the shutdown and whatnot, you really didn't see those as much because they weren't trying to offer discounts, you know, because they wanted people to come back. They weren't offering annual passes because they wanted people to pay full price for these tickets to try to get them back in. So I think with that being said, we can kind of talk about some of the stuff that we have been watching that's out there. That it's interesting because a lot of it is off of the streaming services where that's where the big argument is with actors not getting revenue share out of the stuff that we've seen. But some of the stuff that we have been watching has been really, really good.
Right.
Like I'd say within the last 2 years, I think streaming shows have been better than anything I remember seeing on like basic cable.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's where the argument comes from. Everybody is watching streaming services. Nobody is paying. I mean, some people are paying for cable services.
Yeah.
But those are probably your big businesses that are paying for cable services because they just need it running all the time.
In the background. But you think about shows like we've talked about Ted Lasso before. The last season of Ted Lasso aired earlier this year, and it was a tearjerker. Like, it was absolutely the best ending we could have asked for that show. But that's writers, right?
Yep,
that's
writers
that put together these scripts and these ideas and really fleshed this out to give us the type of shows. We recently got into the second season of The After Party, which is on Apple TV as well. If you guys,
I feel like we
one.
Talked about the first season possibly on the show. I don't even know where we left off.
Same. It's been a while.
So much has happened since then, but yeah, After Party and what else? There's a lot of shows on Apple TV.
Platonic
is good. That's really Rose Byrne, Seth Rogen. It's a really funny show.
Big Door Prize was another one that we watched. The last thing he told me, which you actually read the book first.
I did. I read the book first and I had no idea it was going to be a show. And then, of course, everything's a show. So that was coming around the corner on Apple TV. So we watched it, tuned in. Book is always better because that's just how it goes.
It really is.
It was okay, but the book was better.
Yeah, it was the finale, like the final, when they kind of got to like what the behind the scenes thing was happening. I was like, oh, cool. I kind of felt that's where it was going. And then it just petered out so quick that I was like, "What? Are we missing episodes? What happened?
No, but it was exactly the book. They didn't stray, like maybe it was one or two things. And it was one or two things that wouldn't have made a difference at all in the storyline. So if you have read the book and you loved it, you're going to love the book more than you love the show. But who knows? Maybe you're obsessed with Jennifer Garner. I don't know. Maybe she's your favorite actress. Then you probably will love it more. Who knows? For me, Jennifer Garner, I enjoy her, but she's not my favorite.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like they could have put any leading female and I would have been okay with it.
Right.
So she didn't sell the show for me. I was going to watch it because the book was great.
Yeah. No, for sure. And then we started watching The Last of Us, which we got.
Didn't we only get to the good episode,
yeah,
like
episode three, that was like the
and then we kind of were like, we don't need to keep going.
We're like, it's never gonna get better.
I don't
than
think it'll
this.
Be better than this episode.
Well, no, I think a lot of it was, it is a scarier show, and
yeah,
having two young kids that typically like to be in the room with us,
right?
It's hard to be able to watch a show,
yeah,
like that.
Have to wait until they're in bed, and then by the time they're in bed, I'm watching Vanderpump Rules, so
exactly.
It's kind of like, priorities.
100%. And it's funny because your cousin was the one that got you into Vanderpump.
Hey, Chris.
Shout out to Chris. And it's funny because if I could have created a reality TV show for you,
this would
have been the show.
So I started everybody who's listening, half of you probably don't watch the show, but
you will.
Maybe you know what it is. I'm sure this year, at least in the last couple months, you have seen a meme from this show or just something. You've probably heard of Scandoval and we're like, who are these people? What is this? Oh my gosh. Go back to season one. So you know for sure. But I started this show when it originally came out in 2012 or whatever the year was.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching it. You're not a huge reality TV fan.
I hate it.
There was a point in time where I would tune into Kardashians here and there. And if you came in the room, I would change it because you hated it so much. He would just talk so much crap that it was like, this isn't enjoyable anymore. I'm going to watch it by myself.
Yep.
Because I'd rather just enjoy it for what it is and not deal with you just crapping on it.
I don't know
what just words I could say here.
I don't want to say, I don't remember if we had like authorized.
I know. I don't remember.
Bad
so,
language.
We'll try not to.
Okay.
So I kind of stopped watching reality for really the last decade, but I did start that show for the first season. I watched only the first season and then just kind of fell off. Didn't keep up with it. I would see that it was still on. For me, it didn't make sense that these people were still working in a restaurant. I'm like, how are we still following these people and they're still serving in a restaurant? It happens. I get it. Like, I served for many, many years. Like, a lot of people I know still serve, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I just didn't believe it in Hollywood. I'm like, there's no way these beautiful people are still serving under Lisa Vanderpump in this restaurant. I think that's kind of what took me out of it.
Yeah.
But like, it's not believable. There's no way. Now let's fast forward to this year. Chris is loving it. It's like, hey, do you watch this? I was like, I used to. I don't really care about it anymore. He's like, no, watch it. Like, you need, like, he was watching the new season, season 10, that was just aired a couple months ago, was so invested that he was watching the new season first and then went back to watch the first seasons and then caught up as they were airing the new episodes.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, he just binged it. And I was like, okay, obviously it's really good if he, you know, did that. So I went back to watch all of them. It's taken me way longer because kids.
And a husband.
And a husband and work and all of these other things. Like, I just didn't have the time to just binge like I would have loved to. But we finally caught up. I did not think I would ever get Liam into it because he would kind of chime in, come in and be like, oh my God. Like, you do the same thing. Like, really, this? And then I would see that he was kind of interested. He would ask questions. He was like, what's going on? What's happening? You know, like they all do. They all do it.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting too is like at first you would need someone to talk to about it. So
yes.
You would like tell me, oh my God, this is what happened. Right. Oh my God, you never believe
this. Well, because Chris was only answering so much on the
right. Because he has to work too. But it got to the point where like your excitement for it was almost infectious. You know what I mean? Like you were so excited.
I mean,
for
I
it.
Get that a lot.
Of course. Yeah. You're like an infection bee. No, but like your excitement for it, like made me excited. And
yeah.
Like, I want to enjoy the things that you enjoy, you know? I mean, otherwise what's the point?
Yeah. Well, how is this marriage working? No.
Yeah. I mean, and I understand like people want to have like their own things, but I'll equate Vanderpump to soccer.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that. You know, I like some reality TV, not a lot of reality TV, mostly like cooking reality TV, you know?
Yeah, you know, Great British Bake Off.
I was going to say exactly that. Like, that is my, for lack of a better phrase, cup of tea, you know?
Oh.
I know. But you're like, my excitement for soccer, football, football.
Football.
Was infectious. Like, you liked it, but mostly like World Cup. You weren't watching like domestic league. You definitely weren't watching the Premier League.
No.
But you are a West Ham fan.
Yes.
You were more excited to stay up late for the Women's World Cup that's been happening.
Oh, how
than
devastating,
even I was.
Guys.
That was devastating. But like, we stayed up till midnight to watch the Portugal game. We stayed up till 2 a.m. to watch the game, the match against Sweden, because we weren't going to wait to try to rewatch it the next morning. We're like, no, we'll stay up just to be able to watch the show.
I think back to our first World Cup would have been 2014 together. Because before that, you weren't out here.
No.
When it would have been 2010.
No, yeah. 2010, I still would have been.
Yeah. So together, our first World Cup was 2014. And that was huge for us. I mean, I was working in a restaurant at that point. So I was watching from work. If not, then we were home. We were watching together when we could. So World Cups are huge. Like, they should be huge for everybody. It's the World Cup. Whether you like soccer or not, you should be invested. So.
But it's funny, like, I remember vividly watching the 2014 World Cup. I don't remember vividly watching the 2015 Women's World Cup. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we watched a couple games, but we weren't like, oh my God, you know? I think it's, well, not group stage. I think when it got to knockout rounds and then to the final, for sure, we definitely did. But then like 2018 World Cup, we weren't as invested because U.S. men weren't in it.
Yeah.
So we watched like the games we wanted to watch, but we weren't like avid. But the 2019 Women's World Cup, we watched like every match, not just like the U.S., but every match we watched. And then 2022.
Well, it's nice to see a team that wins.
Yeah, exactly. 2022 World Cup was good. I mean, obviously, we thought the U.S. men's team underperformed. But then watching the Women's World Cup, like, we were really went into this like, this is our tournament. We're going to win the three quints. Like, this is going to be.
It was going to be great.
Unprecedented and just such a lackluster
performance. I hate penalty kicks.
Yeah, same. Oh, it's absolutely the worst. But it's interesting because like the amount of excitement you had going into these World Cups, I never would have thought you would have had 10, 12 years ago when we first got,
but that's what you 14. Do. That's what you do with a partner.
Yeah.
You get invested in the things that they enjoy because it's more fun that way.
Yeah.
You see what they like and you're like, well, I want to like it too. And there's some things that just don't happen. Magic cards. It's not stop trying to make fetch happen. But there's other things that
that would do Uno. Like, we'll play Uno, right? But no, but think about it. Like, when I first started podcasting, you weren't interested in podcasting.
Oh, gosh. I could never hear myself talk.
I forced
you on a radio show
to do this. But as Manoah, like, his schedule just wasn't balanced to be able to do this. And I forced you to come on, and then you just ran with it. I think you had to do it once to feel like, oh, this is something I can do. I can do this. It was probably the same thing with proofreading. You were like, what are you talking about? I'm not going to do this. And then you did it. And we're like, oh, I could definitely do this.
Yeah.
You know, it's just once you try something.
I want to say proofreading. Proofreading is just reading books, guys.
Yeah.
Well, I would say editing. Editing is a little bit more difficult, I guess, learn. But it looks crazy on the outside, but it's really not.
But think about, like, marking scripts, getting run times, putting together spreadsheets with pickups and timestamps.
Right.
Putting together voice match files. Like, there's a lot of things you had to learn in a short amount of time to be able to do your job as well as you do it. Better than some of the productions. Like, you're really, really good at this.
Hire me, guys.
That's right. Girlfriend. but that's what, for me, to spin this all back around, for me, that was what Vanderpump Rules was, is that I couldn't go into it being like, it's another Kardashians, right? And it's tough because it's so cal.
And so much everybody, better.
Even the guys, talk like this with the vocal fry. And like, if I use this voice in a book, I'm getting fired.
Or it's a character.
Or it's a random character in the book. But when you kind of get past like the stereotypes that are in there, and you go, wow, this is like legit storylines.
These are their lives.
Yeah.
And I think that's the crazy part, is that you hear about reality and you're like, it's not really reality. You know, majority of it is scripted. A lot. This is their life.
Yeah.
And yeah, they are put in situations because obviously the writers and the, you know, producers, they got to get something juicy, and they know something's cooking because they're watching everything happen. So they're going to continue putting these people in situations that is going to get a rise out of them and make good TV. So yes, that does happen, but it is their life. And it's so juicy. It's relationships crumbling. That's so sad, right?
But I think, like, for you having worked in restaurants for so long, like, you saw these types of storylines play out.
This happens. For everybody who has worked in a restaurant, this is absolutely restaurant life. If it wasn't, where are you working? Because I guess it was in none of the restaurants I worked in. Because, yes, people are sleeping around on each other. They are dating younger people. They are trying to make it big in something else. And of course, this is in LA, West Hollywood. So yeah, these are beautiful people who are all trying to make something of themselves, whether it be modeling or acting, they want to be in the business in some way, shape, or form. So reality was perfect for them. You knew it was gonna go from there, and the fact that it stuck around for 10 seasons, and you get to this 10th season, I'm not gonna spoil it for you. Well, no, I think we have to. I think we kind of have to talk about it.
Oh, that's the bedtime alarm. How funny.
That's our cue to end the show.
Yeah, right. Oh, well, okay, so I will say we are 48 minutes into the show at this point.
Okay.
So I would, if you have not watched Vanderpump Rules,
And you want to,
I would turn it off. I would end the episode here. You can go back to watching your show. If you have no interest in trying to catch up and you're just like, cool, fill me in on the hot goss, which honestly, it was me for a lot of it. I would be like, ooh, so what happened? Like, I would see you're watching it.
You missed so many episodes, and then I would just fill you in.
Yeah, I would walk in, I'd go, all right, fill me in. And you'd pause it and be like, oh my God, let me tell you. And you'd spill the tea. And I think that was what was so fun.
Yeah.
Because then it was like me, like on this show, like letting you kind of have your moment. So I would say, like, if you're interested in watching the show, I highly recommend it. As somebody that does not like reality television, it is a good show.
Yeah.
And even though the first season is a little cringy at times.
Oh gosh, it's so cringy.
It's only 10 episodes long. But as you get into, I'd say maybe like the third and fourth season.
Yeah.
It really kind of comes into its own. And because you've lived with these characters for multiple years, you really do give a crap about what's happening. And you will pick your favorites. And I will warn you now, whoever your favorite is for this season, you won't like them on the next one. It has been rare that I have had any character that multiple seasons I've tolerated them. Everybody has their peaks and valleys in this show.
Absolutely.
Absolutely everybody. So I would say for those that are leaving us right now, thank you for joining us in on another episode of Hilt Radio. For those that are sticking around, I hope you're ready for some hot gossip.